Northampton Kollel, the 24th of Adar, Toshin Samachs. 28th, thank you. Yeah, 28th of Adar. Yeah, 28th of Adar, Toshin Samach Zayin, 18th of March, 2007. Share given by Gershom Heppner on Tehillim chapter Yud, and it'll be the last part. Oh, no one. And we're up to Pasuk Tesvav.
Tesvav.
15, Pasuk 15. Can I carry on? Shall I carry on?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh. Right. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just go through the Pasukim through to the end of the chapter, and then we'll do all the Pasukim in one go, and then we'll go back for all of them. Shavar Zeroa Rosha, break the arm of the Rosha. Vara, and as for evil, Tidrosh Risho, you will seek its wicked people. Valtimsa, but you won't find them. Chapter Yud, Pasuk Tesvav, or Tesvain now. Hashem Melech Olam Ve'ed, Hashem is king forever. Of Duge Yemeat, so nations are destroyed from his land. Ta'avas Anovim Shamata Hashem, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have heard the desires of humble people. Tachin Nibom, you have prepared their heart. Takshiv Aznecho, your ear will hear. Lishpot Yosem Vadoch, to judge the orphan and the poverty-stricken person. Bal Yosef Ode, so that he shall not continue. La'arotz Enosh Min Ha'aretz, to terrify people from the land. That's the translation. Is tough enough, actually. Okay, we'll go back. We'll see. We'll see what it's all about. This is David's closing tefillah to this whole chapter. Let's go back to Pasuk Tesvav. Shavar Zeroa Rosha, break the arm of the Rosha. And when it says break the arm, it's a reference to might and power. Break the power of the Rosha. Vara, and as for evil, Tidrosh Risho, you shall seek its wicked people, Valtimsa, but you won't find. So Rashi explains that this pasuk is talking about destroying, in particular, destruction of Amalek, our enemies. That's the Rosha in the pasuk. Shavazer our Rosha, break the might or the power or the arm of the Rosha, of Amalek in particular. Says Rashi, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Rishoim, then any sinners among Klal Yisrael will sit up and take notice. If one sees Rishoim not being punished, then it's all too easy for us to slip into Averis as well. But once we see that Rishoim are being punished, so we sit up and we take notice, and then we ourselves stay clear of Averis. And that's what the pasuk means. Vara, and as for any wickedness, Tidrosh Risho, you'll seek, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will look for the wicked people who are doing Averis, but Val Tinsa, you won't find them anymore. Why not? Because these Rishayim, these sinners among Klal Yisrael, will learn a lesson from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing other Rishayim. And therefore, we will do Teshuvah and we'll stay clear of Averis. And therefore, it's a very lovely message for Klal Yisrael that Klal Yisrael will stop doing Averis. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes action against the Rishayim.
So Vara, it talks about the Jewish people when it's Vara.
Yes, it does. Yeah, 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 interesting. Yeah, Vara, and any evildoers among Yisrael will stop doing evil, and they will have learned their lesson. Mm. Yeah. The Radak learns, very interestingly, he says, Tidrosh Risho, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David invites HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look for Rishoim. Tidrosh Risho, look for Rishoim. Says the Radak, that is a direct response to the earlier pasuk in Pasuk Yud Gimel, where the Rosha says, "Amar Belibo," the Rosha says to himself in his heart, "Lo Sidrosh, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you won't look for me." So David turns out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, right, in absolute to undermine the words of the Rosha, who's convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't going to look for him, he says, no, on the contrary, Tidrosh Risho, you should look for evil, and you'll find that seek out Rishoyim.
But Tom was saying this morning in the Shira after Shacharis, that the two times people are better than when they're formed.
Ah, yeah.
Is the person, one of them is the person who pledges himself and nobody will see, and I'm all right. This is
the person who says, "Lo Sidrosh, you won't look for me." Yeah, that's the classic Rosha. Yeah, absolutely. Rav Shimshon von Hirsch learns a little bit differently. Rashi said that it's break the power of Rishoyim so that the rest of Klal Yisrael sit up and take notice and do teshuva. Rav Shimshon von Hirsch says no, much more simply, Shavar Zerah Rasha, break the might of the Rishoyim, Varat Tidrash Risho, Val Timsa, and then those same Rishoyim won't be able to do any more harm. Not that Yisrael will sit up and take notice and learn from the lesson, no. But the Rosh himself, once he's been disempowered, or whatever the word is.
Neutralized,
that's it. All his power has been taken away because his arm has been broken or his power has been smashed by Kodesh Baruch Hu, then he will cease to be a problem. Now, a very interesting Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, on this, which quotes this pasuk. The Gemara there discusses the structure of the Amidah, and the Gemara says that every single bracha in the Amidah has its particular place. And the Gemara goes through bracha by bracha, saying why each bracha is what it is and where it is in the positioning in the Amidah. When it comes to bracha number 9, bracha number 9 is bracha alein, baruch aleinu es hashana hazos, what we call birkas hashanim, the bracha that we should be blessed with good produce. The tevua should be good produce and so on. So the Gemara says, well, why is that in this position of bracha number 9? Says the Gemara, why did they see fit to put this bracha on produce to be bracha number 9? Amar Rabbi Alexandre answers, keneged mafkiye sha'orim. It corresponds to the food sellers who create false shortages in order to push up the prices so they should increase their own bank balance. Why? As we have a pasuk, can increase our pasuk. Shavar Zerah HaRasha, break the arm of the Rasha. The David, Ki Amora, and when David said this pasuk, Batashi is Amora, he said it is the 9th chapter of Tehillim. So the 9th bracha of the Amidah corresponds to the 9th chapter of Tehillim. Why? The 9th chapter of Tehillim is where this pasuk is, where it says Shavar Zerah HaRasha, break the arm of the, break the power of the Rasha. And this pasuk is all about the Rishoyim who falsely push up the prices of food, which really is extortionate and never.
It's in chapter 9 also. It would have been chapter 10.
Ah, you've asked the kasha that Rashi asks. Oh, right. You've asked the kasha that Tosas asks. Yeah, this isn't chapter 9, this is chapter 10. Rashi asks the kasha, Tosas asks the kasha. So you'll fund next month's Shabbos and Vachim Kiddush for that.
It's quite mixed up.
That's a lovely kasha. It's a cause for celebration. Yeah. Oh, that's the kasha.
Right.
So at any rate, we'll come to the kasha in a second. The point being that this here in this chapter we have the pasuk early in pasuk 9. Ye'erof amistar ka'ariyev v'suko ye'erof lachatof oni. The rasha is out to trap the oni. So Rashi explains, what do you mean trap the oni? A good burglar is not going to target a council slum area. A good burglar targets Bishop's Avenue, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he's out to. That's where he's going to make a killing. So why does he say? Okay, it's more security. Okay, but you're not going to get much. Yeah, you know, where are the rich pickings? You're not going to get much lachtof on you. You're targeting the poor people. That's why this pasuk of Shavar Zerah Rasha is a reference to those who are targeting poor people, i.e. the people who push up the prices of food falsely, extortionate, even extortionate towards the poor, who never can't afford to pay decent prices. So that's why this pasuk is talking about the people who push up food prices. Now, this is so against them, David HaMelech says, Shavar Zerah Rasha, break the power of the Rasha. Well, the bracha of Birkas Hashanim, of having plenty of food growing in the land, of course, if there's plentiful produce, then there is no food shortage, and therefore the prices will remain stable, or maybe even hopefully low, so everybody can afford to purchase food. Now, of course, Rashi asks the kasha, what's going on here? Tosfos asks the kasha, this is in chapter 9, this is chapter 10. Yeah, and Rashi answers that in fact chapters 9 and 10 are considered as one chapter. Yeah, that's how Rashi learns. Chapter 9 and 10 are in fact considered one peg. Well, it's interesting, all the Svarim print it as chapter 10, and obviously even in, excuse me, even in Rashi's time they must have considered it chapter 10, otherwise Rashi would never have had
the kasha. The content is similar in both chapters.
Yeah, could be, I can't remember chapter 9 anymore, terrible. Yeah. But anyway, but Rashi learns that chapters 9 and 10 are the same, belong together.
Yeah, it starts with Lamed Netzach. And chapter 10 starts with Lama, it's a question. It's continuing, it's not a...
Oh, Lama is a continuation, is it? A question. Oh, could be, yeah. Could be. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos got the same kasha as you, Johnny. Yeah. Why is it? It's not chapter 9, it's chapter 10. And Tosfos answers that, in fact, chapters 1 and 2 are one chapter. And the reason for that, says Tosfos, is because chapter 1, Peg Aleph, begins with Ashrei. Chapter Aleph beginning Ashrei Yesh Hashelo Halach Batzas Rishayim, and chapter Base finishes with Ashrei. Ashrei Kol Chosevo. That's the closing words of chapter Base. Says Tosfos, where the chapter begins with Ashrei, where David was particularly happy with the chapter, he began it and finished it with Ashrei.
But Base also starts with Lama again.
Oh, Beis also begins with Lama. Oh, yeah, Lama Rosh Hashanah. Yeah,
it's a continuation.
Yeah, so there we are. So the machlok is there between Rashi and Tosfos as to which two chapters we combine into one. Okay, good. Yeah.
Those are a Rashi refers to like people who are profiteering.
They're profiteering. Thank you. I didn't think of the word. Profiteering. And it's really extortionate because it's extortion on poor people who never can't afford to pay.
With Baruch Aleinu, it's the same thing.
So Baruch Aleinu, if there's plenty of food around, then there'll be no food shortage. No food shortage, then prices can remain stable or even low.
So the modern day equivalent of that is people who buy votes.
Votes.
Votes. The poor people who are willing to sell whatever they've got. Especially living in the non-Jews and the Asians and things, there's been a lot of corruption of buying in votes and certainly the poor people they target, the rich people wouldn't bother with that. So it's always the poor people
who will suffer
who are a big target for the good burglar if you like, to get political power.
Good. Okay, Pasuk Tezayim. Hashem Melech Olam Vaed, Hashem is king forever, of Duga Yimmeat, so nations are destroyed from his land. So Rashi, here we have a small machlokes in Rashi and the Radak. What comes first, chicken or the egg? Hashem Melech Lolam Vaed, Hashem is king forever, and then of the Gemiyat, and then nations are lost from his land. Well, Rashi learns it's the other way round. Hashem is king forever because the nations have been destroyed from his land. So therefore the nations being destroyed comes first, and that will be followed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's worldwide recognition as Melech HaOlam. But first you have the destruction of all the nations and all the Rishayim, followed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus being settled. The Radak learns it's the other way around. The Radak learns, no, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recognized as the Melech, and once he's recognized as the Melech, then he will see to it that all the nations are destroyed. So it's machlokes between Rashi and the Radak, which one comes first. There's a wonderful piece of Targum on this pasuk. Says the Targum, translating Hashem Melech, Hashem is king, that's a present tense, Olam Vaed forever, says the Targum, Hashem Melech la'olmei olmayo, God is king forever and ever. And we're not at all surprised by that translation. What we are surprised about is the translation of the pasuk at the end of the Shira, at the end of B'Shalach, where the pasuk there says Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vaed, God will be king forever and ever, and the Targum translates that as Hashem. Let's get this right. Hashem Malchusei, excuse me. Hashem Malchusei Ko'im Le'olam Ulo'olmei Olmaya. Of course, we say it in davening. Whenever we quote the pasuk Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vaed, which we do in Pesukim Zimra after the Shira, and again in Uvolat Zion, we quote the Targum with it. Strange, why do you quote the Targum? We quote a pasuk, why do we quote the Targum? It's very unusual. Hashem al chusei ka'im lo lam lo me'ol maya. So I'll start off by saying that the Ramban gives a pshat on that Targum, and I didn't understand the Ramban. It's worthwhile noting, the Ramban on that pasuk does explain the Targum, it was beyond me. It's a tiny piece of Ramban, it's about 3 words long, I didn't understand it. I saw another pshat in the sefer called Nefesh Hager, which is the most wonderful sefer written on, it's a pirush on Targum Unklus on the Chumash. And it was given to me by Yehuda Yonah Rubinstein, who is an old chavrusa of mine, who himself is a ger. Yeah, and he gave it to me as a joke. He gave it to me as a big joke, and it's because the sefer is on as a nefesh hager on the targum, because unklus hager. So it's a lovely gift, I must say. Now, the sefer nefesh hager quotes a Pesikta Rabosi in the name of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who says that when Klal Yisrael came through Kriyas Yamsuf and they said Hashem Yimnech Lanum Ved, beautiful pasuk, God will reign forever and ever, but there's a problem. They put it in the future tense. God will rule forever. Says Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that's not good enough. What about the here and now? You should have said Hashem is ruling forever and ever. To say he will rule forever and ever is a failure to recognize the nes of the moment. You're really putting it in the future. Says Rabbi Yossi Haglili, if only Klal Yisrael would have put it in the present tense that God is now ruling and will continue to rule forever and ever, as it does in our pasuk, Hashem Melech Olam Voed, which is in the present tense, if only they would have put it in the present tense, they would never have been troubled by any future anti-Semitism ever. But because they failed to do so, and they praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future tense only, that was a slight...
Wasn't in the present tense before, because Hashem...
Do you know where that Norman, you've got me on my hobby horse there. Where's the pasuk? I've asked this question to the boys in Pardo's house. You'll love this. You'll love it. Where is the pasuk which says Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Lanam Ved? Do you know which sefer it's in? It doesn't exist. There is no such pasuk. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Lanam Ved. There's no such pasuk. It's a tefillah, which we say it in Yichavet Hashem Me'olam, in Pesukim Zimra. We also say it in, of course, in the Piyutim on Yomim Ne'roim. But in fact, it's a combination of a pasuk somewhere, I don't know where, which says Hashem Melech. It's a combination of a pasuk somewhere, and I don't know where, which says Hashem Moloch. It's a pasuk somewhere, and I don't know where, which says Hashem Yimlech Lanaved. It's a jumble of pesukim. It's an amazing thing. It's a jumble of pesukim. So in actual fact, there's no such pasuk. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Lanaved. Our pasuk, Hashem Yimlech Lanaved, it's the one in the Shir, of course, that's where it is, yeah. So I didn't know where it was. Yeah. Yeah. Hashem Yimlech Lanaved is the one in the Shir.
It's the Bnei Yisrael,
that they only put it in the future tense. Says Rabbi Yossi Haglili in the Pesik Torah Bossi, if only, and I looked for it, I couldn't find it, if only they would have put it in the present tense, like our Pesik Hashem Melech Lanaved, they would never have been troubled by any future, and no future enemies would ever have attacked. So says the Sefer Nefesh Hager, the Targum is correcting the mistake of Klal Yisrael. In the Targum, he puts it Hashem Ko'im, which means God exists, present tense, La'olam la'olmei olmaya. And it's a correction of the pasuk. It's like he's providing the tikkun. And he says that's why whenever we say the pasuk in davening, we also say the targum with it. Interesting? Well, our pasuk, of course, is put it in the present tense. Hashem Melech Olam Voed.
So the Targum puts it in the present, right?
Well, in the Targum, in the Chumash, yes, puts it in the present. Hashem Ko'im means God exists, present tense. Yeah. And that's a correction of the what the Pasuk said, of what Klal Yisrael maybe should have said. Right. Now, the Malbim has got a wonderful chiddush on this Pasuk. He says quite differently, Hashem Melech Olam Ved, God is king forever, even if Ovduge Yimeyata, even if all the nations are lost from his land. What's the pshat? He says, a human king, Melech Basav Adom, we have a principle, Ein Melech Below Om. You cannot, that's a Maimah Chazal, Ein Melech Below Om. You cannot have a king without a people. Yeah, I once told this to the lads in Pardo's house. Yeah, I said, imagine when the Queen had a golden jubilee. And she comes out onto the balcony on Buckingham Palace to wave to the millions of crowds who've gathered, and there's no one there. Yeah, imagine nobody ever showed up for that. Yeah, so if nobody shows up, then she's not a queen. Yeah, it's a bit like when they had the split in the Melucha from Rehavam, when all the 10 tribes walked away from Rehavam. Yeah, they were not interested in you. You walk away from a king, he's no longer a king. Yeah, so Ein Melech Blom, but that only applies to a human king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king whether there are people around or not. Hashem has always been a king. And really, and that's, says the Malbim, that's Rishat and Pasuk. Hashem Melech Olam Voed, God is always king and always will be, even if Obdu Gemi Asim, even if there's no one around. Even if there are no nations around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still the Melech. Yeah? Yeah? Nice pshat. Yeah?
Can I just go back?
Please, go
on.
Come here, I'm on the tape.
Doesn't a Yud denote some type of change of tense?
Yes, Yimloch is a future tense.
Well, then, Oz Yoshe Moshe.
Oh, next hobby horse. Oz Yoshe Moshe. Oz Yoshe is in the future tense, correct. Literally, it means then Moshe will sing.
Isn't it something like a Yud conversion?
It's just the Yud prefix of a future tense, like Yishmer, he will guard, or Yagid, he will say.
It's a bit of
So Oz Yoshe Moshe is in fact literally it's in the future tense. Then Moshe will sing. Absolutely, as Johnny says, Rashi on that pasuk says that it's a reference to Tchias Hamesim. Moshe will sing in the future, right? And after Tchias Hamesim, that is Rashi's pshat based on Medrashim. But Norman, you've asked me, your late father-in-law, Rabbi Avraham Abelmeyer, Mr. Abelmeyer, who taught me this pasuk, he said when we were in school, he said that there's another teretz as well, and the teretz is that based on Tiktuk, the word Oz often, not always, but often attracts a future tense, even if its meaning is a past tense. So, for example, Oz Nivhalu is a past tense. That's the exception to the rule. Okay. The word Oz will often attract, I can't think of a single example now. The word Oz will often attract a future tense, even if it has a past meaning. Oh, thank you. Oz Yerivagen. Yeah, Oz. Oh, in Shemalos. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, you have the same thing as well with the word Terem. So your father-in-law Tommy always. Oh, you have the same thing with the word Terem, which means before. Now, also the word terem is often attracts a future tense. I'll give an example in Parshas Vayera. Terem Yishkovu, talking about when the Malachim came to visit Lot. Terem Yishkovu, before they were able to go to sleep that night, the people of the town of Sodom all gathered around Lot's house. Now, before they went to sleep is a past tense, but in the pasuk it's written in the future tense, Terem Yishkovu, with a yud prefix, which is a future tense, yeah? And it's interesting that both the words oz and terem are both words to do with time. Oz means then, terem means before. They're both time-related words. And so there's some connection there, and they both often, not always, but often attract a future tense, even if the meaning is past. I'm doing hashavas avedot to you. Yeah? Yeah.
I mean, your Yishkavon is going in the past tense?
It is, yeah. Literally, it's a future tense. Yeah. They will lie down. Yishkavu means they will lie down. But in fact, but it means in the past tense.
So the Terem brings it back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's no, your past
yeah,
tense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not Hashem has a lady, I think, because he never expected it to receive it back.
Ah.
He just gave it.
Say that again, I'll take it.
My father-in-law never wanted anything.
Yeah, just come back to the Malbim. In the Malbim, we learn is that Hashem is the Melech even when Obdu Gemi Asim, even if there's not around to serve him. I once heard this in the name of Reb Gedalia Shor. I heard it from Rabbi Yehuda Leib Wittler, I think he said in the name of Gedalia Shor that there's a pshat in Adon Olam. Adon Olam, Hashem is the master of the world, Hashem Molach, who ruled Beterem Kol Yitzin Nivra, before anything was ever created. He was the Melech, Hashem Molach, he was the king and ruling even before anything was ever created. That's it. For human beings to say En Melech below Om, but that would not apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Rav Shimon Shimon Fal Hirsch gets. There's a reference to his pirush Pity in Vayera, I think it is, where the pasuk says Vayita Eshel Bivere Shava Vayikrosham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Anyway, it's just before, it's the last pasuk of chapter Kafalef in Bereishis. Vayikrosham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And on that word Olam, of course it links into our words here, Melech Olam, it says the word Olam, which means world, and also means forever, but the root, Ayin Lamed Mem, is to disappear. in a bit, lehitalem is to disappear. Yeah, lo sucha lehisalem. We have a passage. You're not allowed to ignore, like to make yourself, to hide yourself. But when it comes to lost property, you can't ignore it. Yeah, lo sucha lehisalem. So he says the reason why the future leolam or leolam v'ed is this root ayin lamed mem is because the future is hidden from us. We don't know what the future holds for us. Ayin lamed mem is to disappear. It's hidden from us. We don't know what's coming up. That's Rav Shimshon Falhashen is that beautiful, yeah? Le'olam forever, Ayin Lamed Mem. It's hidden. We don't know what's due to come. The Yalkut Me'amloi says, Ov Dugo Me'artso, it says there's a particular reference to nations who have come from far-flung nations, have come to Eretz Yisrael in order to attack and conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's what he says, Ov Dugo Me'artso. Now, I found an amazing medrash. We've just finished Purim. An amazing medrash here. That this pasuk, Hashem Melech Olam Ve'et Ov Dugo Me'artso, was a pasuk quoted by Achashverosh in his letter to all his nations, to all his subjects, inviting them to destroy the Yidden. And he writes, I have to read this out, it's just fantastic. Kosmu b'oson igros, Achashverosh wrote it in these letters, and I'll read this out. Shalom lachem, adein cheke, I greet you all unceasingly. Yivad alachem, you ought to know, she'odom echad yesh be'inimu, there's a man among us, v'lemim kemenu, who is not quite from our area. Elom izara hamlucha, he comes from royal blood. Who Omizari Shel Amalek, and he's also descended from Amalek, and Migadole Hadorhu, and he's a great, great man, he's one of the greatest we've ever had. The Haman Shemo Haman, and Haman, yeah, Haman is his name. The Sha'al Mimenu Sha'ila Katani is the Kalu. He's asked from us a very simple request. And what's his request? Al Am Echad Asher Yesh Binenu, from one of the nations who's among us, Nivzemikola Amim, a very downtrodden nation, Vedatam Gasalem, and they're very haughty. They desire our downfall, they're out to get us, and they're constantly cursing the king, that's me. And what is this curse they keep cursing us? Our pasuk, Hashem Melech Olam Voed of Du Geyim Me'atzo, that Hashem, their God, will rule forever once the nations are destroyed. They can't wait for us for our downfall.
Conspiring to destroy them.
Yes. Conspiring to destroy us. Achashverosh quoted this pasuk in his letter. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, and that's a medrash. I quote it. It's a medrash rabba. Norman Achashverosh quoted this pasuk of Du Geyim Me'atzo, inviting the Persians and all these subjects to kill the Jews. Why? Because they can't wait for us for our downfall. Hashem Melech Olam Ve'et Ov Dugo Me'artso, where God will rule once the nations are destroyed. Achashverosh wrote that in his letter, which he was sent out, yeah, to get everyone to destroy the Jews. It's quoted in the Medrash Rabbah on Esther, Perek Zayin, Simon Yud Gimel. Yeah. So that's about Achashverosh. Now another quotation of this pasuk is in a sad sense, of course. It's from Medrash on Eicha Rabbah, Aleph Os Nun, where the Medrash there brings a story about a lady called Miriam Bas Nachtom. Miriam, I guess her father was a baker, so he was known by the name Nachtom. And it's a story and she had seven sons. It's a variation on the story that we know about from Hanukkah, about Hannah and her seven sons, and they were all captured and they were all tortured and so on and so forth. When it came to the youngest child, and then the emperor, the Kesar, invited the youngest child to worship Avodah Zarah, and he turned to the Kesar, this young child, and he said, no, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, you're here today, you'll be dead tomorrow, and all our enemies will eventually will suffer their own downfall. And he quoted this pasuk, Hashem Melech Olam Vaed Ov Dugo Yim Me'artso. And this young child quoted this pasuk to the Kesar in his refusal to worship Avodah Zarah. On to Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. Very interesting. The Gemara discusses that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we say Pesukim of Malchus, Zichronis, and Shepharos. We say all these Pesukim. So the Gemara discusses, well, which Pesukim do you say? Of course, we've got our fixed text, but it seems that it's actually a flexible thing. You couldn't mention any Pesukim about Malchus, Zichronis, and Shepharos. And the Gemara says one restriction on that, you cannot say any Pesukim of punishment. Yeah, Pesukim will punish him. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech and will punish Yidden. Or that you can't say. Well, Hashem remembers all our averus, and the Gemara brings a whole load of Pesukim of Malchus, Secholus, and Shofaris, which are not suitable for Rosh Hashanah because they're Pesukim to do with punishing Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Aval bat im bolo ma malchus zikaron v'shofar shel peronos shel ovdei kochavim. If he wants to say psukim about malchus zikronos and shofaris, where it involves punishments, but the punishments are directed at people who worship idols, Omer, then you may say those psukim. And the Gemara brings various examples, and one pasuk is our pasuk here: Hashem Melech Olam Vaed. That's Melech, that's Malchus, of the Gemeyatzer, destroying all the nations, destroying the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's a pasuk which you could say. Yes, a pasuk about punishments, but it's about punishment being meted out against the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So that's okay. Good.
We don't say it.
No.
We could do it.
You could do, yeah. Yeah, we actually don't say it. We say the pasuk, but one could, in theory, say that pasuk. Good. Pasuk Yudzayim. Ta'avas anofim shamata, Hashem. You, Hashem, have heard the desires of humble people. That's a reference to Klal Yisrael. Tochin libon, you direct their heart. That's a translation I took from the art school. You direct their heart. Takshiv oznecha, you are attentive. Also an art school translation. Literally, you make your ear hear what Klal Yisrael want to daven. Oh, there's no Rashi on the pasuk. The Ibn Ezra points out that this phrase takshiv oznecha, your ear will hear. That word takshiv can be answered in two ways. You can either be masculine, you will make your ear hear, or it could be a feminine singular in the third person, your ear hears. And because the word ozen is in fact feminine. Yeah, an ear, the word, many parts of the body are feminine, like yod, hand is feminine, and ozen.
What is the root of?
It's kushin vase. Kushin vase. Yeah, kushin vase. Hakshiva lakol.
El-Rinossi,
thank you. Hakshiva Rinossi, shker. Yeah. So takshiv is to hear. It can either be you, masculine, you are Akash Baruch Hu, make your ear hear, or it could be it, feminine, it, the ear, will hear. Two different ways of looking at it. Ibn Ezra favors the second one, but it's in the third person, feminine singular. Now, the Radak learns two different shotim on this. Tavas anovim shamato. You, Hashem, have heard the wishes, the desires of the humble people. So says the Radak, shamato, although it's in the past tense, it actually has a future meaning. You will hear. You will hear. Very often, a nevuah is put in the past tense. You find this throughout Tanakh. A nevuah, which will happen in the future, is written in the past. Why? Because it's as though it's already happened. Well, it's such a certainty that we can accept it's already happened. I once mentioned it in one of the earlier shiurim. So he says it's as though it says Tishma, you will hear. The second pshat he says is that Tavas Anovim Shamata. It's interesting. Shamata means you'll hear something. Well, it's got to be audible. Ta'avas Anovim is a thought, which is inaudible. So it's strange that Hashem can hear. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear what we are thinking.
Says that that's what you desire.
Yeah. Yeah, what you want.
What you want.
Yeah, yeah. What's in your mind.
Yeah.
You didn't say a word, but it's in your mind. Yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our wishes even before we say them. And he says, there's the pasuk. Oh, here we are. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Samach. Hey, pasuk Kaftalet. We say it on a Tanis. V'hayor terem yikra'u v'ani e'eneh. Terem yikra'u, future tense after terem. And it will be, although this pasuk probably isn't, she says, before they call, I will hear them. I will answer them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't need to say a word. I know exactly what's on your mind, and I know what you're thinking, and I know what you want, and I'll answer your wishes. So even if you say it.
I'm not surprised when that sounds like.
It's usually used in connection with an evil, it's immoral wishes. Yeah, I know, yeah. I got the same kasha. Although, quite a funny.
A taiva, they call it.
Yeah, taiva. Taiva, yeah, lust.
Lust,
yeah,
for something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, it is strange, isn't it?
Well, when the quails came down,
oh, yeah. Hisavu ta'avo, that's it. But in Balusra, yeah. Correct? Yeah.
The lust is strange.
Yeah, strange.
Why should Hashem hear your lusts?
Yeah. So, well, it doesn't have that connotation here. Here's got a more pleasant connotation of a person's wishes. Yeah, yeah.
Wishes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your good wishes, obviously.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he won't listen.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. The Radak says, "On Tochin Libom, you will direct their heart." How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu direct their heart? Says the Radak, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove all disturbances that we suffer in Olam Hazeh, all what we call the Tirdus Olam Hazeh, all the problems we have, he'll remove them from us, give us a much easier time, so that we are free to daven. Yeah, it is, a person starts davening in Amida, and in the middle of his Amida, he's worried about that problem, that problem, that problem, he can hardly concentrate on his davening, yeah? Yeah, well, the financial health, whatever's buzzing through his brain at the time, yeah, that disturbs him from davening. So says the Radak, Tochin Libom, you will direct out of their hearts of Klal Yisrael so they can daven better. And how will you do that? By removing all their difficulties and problems in life. Beautiful pshat. Yeah. Says the Metzudas David, we have here two different tenses in the Pasuk. Tavas Hanovim Shomato, Hashem, you heard the desires of the humble people, that's past tense, and Tochim Libom Takshivas Necho is in the future tense. And he says that's how it is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always heard our tefillis and will always hear our tefillis. It's past and future. The Malbim learns Tochim Libom as being that, not that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will direct their hearts, but the heart itself should wish to pray. And it seems that, and the Malbim knows, that Tochin is also feminine, singular, third person. See, that word Tochin could be either feminine, singular, third person, the heart is prepared to pray, or it could be you, second person, masculine, singular, you will prepare, or you will direct the heart. Could be either way. The Malbim learns that it's a reference to the heart itself. The heart will wish to pray. And he defines the word takshiv, very interesting. Takshiv osnecha, you'll make your ear will hear, which of course is parallel to the first half of the pasuk, which says shamata, you heard. So he says shemia is when you hear someone who's close to you. Hakshava or takshiv is when you can hear someone who's far away from you. I say, you know,
interesting.
And Malbim is two different. That's two different types of listening: listening close up and listening at a distance.
Yeah.
Yeah? Rav Shimshon von Hirsch learns that Tochin Libom is a precursor to Takshiv Osnecha, that Tochin Libom, you will direct their hearts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will direct the hearts of Klal Yisrael to make them want to daven for good things. Like the Gemara says somewhere that a gunner, before he goes out to steal, he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be successful in his burglary. Yeah? You heard that?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. It's a Gemara somewhere. I don't know. Yeah, the Gam of Davins, he should be Matzliach in his Gnevis. Yeah?
We learn from everyone. We even learn from a Ganav.
Oh, you learn from a Ganav. He Davins.
We learn from everyone. It's success. Even the Ganav can learn.
Oh, very nice. I see. So Shem Shem Fal Hash, Tochin Libom, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will direct our hearts to Davin for good things. That's the end of it. Now, the Yalkut Miyam Lui.
Is that good for you? That are in your interest?
Yes, that's right. That are really in
your interest. Might have been in your interest. Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's, you said exactly the right thing.
Yeah.
You don't know what you just said.
I know what I said.
You said an amazing thing. You just said what the Yalkut Miyam Lui says. The Yalkut Miyam Lui quotes this in the name of the Haflo'o.
Yeah.
The Haflo'o is one of the Acharonim, who wrote a Lomdash Sfarim as well. It says that a person initially may well daven for something that is not good for them.
Yeah.
And that is what is referred to in the pasuk, Ta'avas Anovim Shomat Hashem. You hear, even when a person asks for something not good, maybe that's why it's in the Lashon of Ta'avas, something which is not so good. Then later on, the person realizes, Oyvei, I've daven for something which is not really suitable. And now I'm going to daven that should be taken away, and it should be undone. What I davened for earlier should be taken away, and that's what is referred to in the second half of the pasuk. Tochim libam takshivas necha. You direct their hearts then to pray for something which is good for them, and then takshivas necha. And he quotes a Gemara, a tremendous story, Gemara in Tanis, Daf Kafhei, where the Gemara speaks about Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Gemara brings many, many stories there about Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, who was completely poverty stricken.
Tanis, Gemara Tanis.
Tanis daf kafhei. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, completely poverty stricken. And his wife once said to him, look, we're down to nothing. We've got nothing left. Daven takon shporuchu, that we should be rewarded. We should get something. So he davened, and a hand came down from Shomayim. Of course, I haven't got a clue what this means. A hand came down from Shomayim and presented Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa with a golden table leg, which he sold. And that was able to make a parnasa from that. I presume he sold it. Then, you know, remember this? Then the wife, Mrs. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, dreamt that she and her husband were in Gan Eden, and they were sitting there enjoying a seuda in Gan Eden, surrounded by all of the tzaddikim, and everybody was sitting at a table with three legs. And their table had two legs. Everyone had three, they had two. And she realized, okay, what we've just received is our reward. That's really, we've got our schayin olam hazeh, and it's detracted from our schayin olam haba. So Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa davened, and the wealth that he had was taken away again, thereby restoring their schayin olam haba. He had davened for something which was not suitable. And it says the haflah, and it's quoted in the Alkit Memnoes on this pasuk. That's the pshat in that pasuk. We have Tamas Hanam Shemat Hashem. Initially, yes, you listen to what we daven for, but it might not be suitable, and so we have to daven again to have it removed. Hashem Tochin Libam Takshivas Necha. You listen again when we daven for something which is in fact good for us. It's exactly what you just said. You daven for something which is good. We don't always daven for that which is good.
Just a quick aside on you said about the Ganav praise for something good. But I said that you learn from everyone, even the Ganav, he prepares, he schemes, he works it out to the last detail how he's going to commit his crime. And then he governs for success. And how we can learn from him when we do our tefillahs, we should, before we govern, we should actually work out, get ourselves in the frame of mind for success. Then put it into action.
Do our utmost too, you mean?
Even though just planning like, how are you going to daven? The order, the concentration, the commitment.
That's it. The Yalkut Shimoni brings a medrash on this pasuk, Tavas Anovim Shamata Hashem. Yalkut Shimoni, in the name of Reb Levi, says that this is reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, the word Anovim is a perfect description of Moshe. V'olish Moshe Onov Me'ot Mikala Adam. He was the most humble man. At the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, pass on to Aaron, your brother, the Seder of the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. And the pasuk there says, "Va'al yavo v'chaleis el hakodesh." He shall not come at all times to the Kodesh, to the Mishkan. So Moshe, Aaron should not come into the Mishkan. So Moshe was horrified. He said, "What? My brother's got restricted entry to the Mishkan." And Moshe Rabbeinu got all upset on Aaron's behalf. And that's an act of anova. He's not putting himself first. He's getting worried about Aaron. That's an anova. He's putting someone else first. He got all upset, and he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "What? My brother can't come into the Kodesh, can't come into the Mishkan." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you don't understand. The pasuk goes on, "Bezos yovo Aaron el HaKodesh." This is how Aaron shall come into the Mishkan, and then comes all the avodah. This is how he's due to serve me on Yom HaKippurim. So says the Yalkut Memnoes, our pasuk, Tavas Anovim Shamat Hashem, you heard Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, and he is the onov par excellence who davened on behalf of his brother, and you listened to him, and you allowed Aaron to come into the Kodesh. In fact, the reaction of our Kodesh Baruch Hu is that he can come in at any time he likes. Then the Alkut Shemini goes on and says in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Achmini that if a person im kivein libo batfila, I'll give you the Lashon, im kivein libo batfila, if a person has kavona in his davening, yehe mevusar, then he is as good as being informed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu shetei nishmas tefila, so that his prayer will be heard. Why? From our pasuk, from tochin libam, you prepare your heart to daven, then you can be guaranteed takshiv aznecha, Hashem's ear will hear your tefillah. Another beautiful medrash on this pasuk is to do with Aaron HaKohen, that and this is brought in the name of Reb Meir, that when the Mishkan was established and all the Nesiim brought their various offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the all listed in Parshas Naso, Aaron was very upset. Why? Because the tribe of Levi was not represented. They didn't bring anything. The tribe of Nasi of Levi didn't bring anything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Aaron was very upset about that. Says, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is a reflection of our pasuk Tavas Anovim Shamata Hashem. You hear the desires of the Anovim, of the humble people. Aaron is very humble. He says, Ovei, we haven't done anything. We haven't done what we should have done. I'm from the tribe of Levi. We haven't done what we should have done. All the other Nesim have brought, and we haven't brought anything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his wishes and answered him and said, no, don't worry. Your mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeros, which is the direct follow-on at the beginning of Parshas Baaloscha, your mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeros is, for me, is worth a lot more, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears his desires and answers him and gave him the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeros, and that's in the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Tetzaveh Os Beis. Now the Gemara says in Brachos, I'm going to get this right. Do you know what? I'm just going to check the tape. Right, the Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, Gemara says, Hamispalel, when a person davens, Tzorech sheyechaven es libo l'shamayim, he must direct his heart to heaven. Abba Shol Omer, Abba Shol said, Simen l'davar, we've got a hint to that, and he brings our pasuk, Tochin libom, takshiv aznecha, direct your heart, you direct your heart towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then takshiv aznecha. Now, of course, he says it's a simen, the pasuk is not giving us a directive, thou shalt direct your heart to heaven. That's not in the pasuk. It's a simon, it's just a remez, a hint in the pasuk. Tochin libam, when your heart is directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then takshiv aznecha, Hashem will listen to our tefillas. So that's the halacha which we have here. Le'olam, I've lost it, please. Hamispalel tochshei yechavin es libam. It's necessary he should direct his heart. Now, that halacha is described by the Tor as in Hilchas Tefillah as being a requirement to understand the translation of davening. You must understand Pirush Hamilis. You're going to understand the translation of davening for and that's the definition of being mechaven es libo.
Especially Shemayne Esrei, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, correct. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. In fact, usually when the Gemara uses a lotion of Hamispalel, it's a reference to the Amidah.
Right,
yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. And it's the Ritva who points out, it's just a simon. Abba Shol says it's just a simon, a remez in the pasuk, a hint, because the pasuk doesn't actually say so specifically in the form of a command or a directive that you've got to direct your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Gemara immediately follows with a story about Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara says that when Rabbi Akiva would daven, an amazing thing would happen. When he would daven, Om Rabbi Huda, Kachayim in Hago Shel Rabbi Akiva. This is the manner of Rabbi Akiva. Kishayim is Palenu Matzibur. Whenever he was davening with the Tzibur, Hayim Mekatzer the Ole, he would finish off his davening pretty quickly. Why? Because otherwise everyone would have to wait for him, and that's Tichud Tzibur. Everyone's going to hang around for him, so he davened pretty quickly. But when he would daven by himself, Adam Manicho Bezovizu, a person would leave him in one corner of the room. In other words, you would see him davening, his beginning of the Amidah would be in one corner of the room, and the man would then go out, leaving Rabbi Akiva to daven by himself. Umotso, and then would come back and find him davening still, Bezavis Acheres, in another corner. The whole Kachalama, how could that happen? Why would he daven? He's talking about davening the Amidah. How come he's shifted in the Amidah from one corner to the other? Nibnei Krios Vishtachavoyers, because he would bow down so much. He was bowing down so much, or shockling, or whatever it was. He was davening such Kavanah, and a long Amidah, that it would actually, his feet would shift, and he would end up in a different corner of the room. Now, in the Ein Yaakov on this Gemara, the Rif asks Akasha, he says, what's the, this story seems a bit of a non sequitur. We start off by saying, direct your heart in davening. He's got to direct his heart towards heaven. And we follow up with the story about Rabbi Akiva davening short amidus when he's with a minion, long amidus when he's not with a minion. That's long amida, short amida, actually is a different aspect of davening. The halacha speaks about kavana. The length of the amida is a different aspect to the davening. This kash is brought by the Rif on the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov is of course the Agadata, and the Rif on the Ein Yaakov brings this kasha. What's the continuity in the Gemara? And he answers based on the last Mishnah of Maseches Menachos, where the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Echad hamarbe v'echad hamamit uvilvad sheyechaven es liba lashamayim. That's the last Mishnah. Whether you do a lot, whether you do a little, is not so important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is important, es libo, is directing your heart lashamayim. The Gemara there, is, the Mishnah, if I remember correctly, and I failed to look it up, the Mishnah there speaks about whether you bring a lot of Karbonis Mincha, or any a small number of menachos, doesn't make a difference. Just have your heart in the right place and worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your heart in the right place. Echad amar b'vechad amar, whether you do a lot or a little is not so important. It's not quantity, it's quality. So he says that's the continuity in our Gemara. The Gemara speaks about he's going to direct his heart to Shemayim, and the Gemara follows that up by saying, well, Rabbi Akiva sometimes daven short amidus, sometimes daven long amidus. Echad hamarbe, the echad hamamit. And if it's not a no difference whether you daven a long or a short amidah, the main thing is yechav nesli ben hashemayim. That's the continuity in the Gemara there.
So even when he davened in a hurry, you were the kiva.
Sure, he was
the kiva. He still acted the kavanah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And the length of the amidah is not as important as the kavanah and shalom. I know, we've got to finish this. We've got to go. Okay, I've got one more pasuk to go. Shall I, do you want to stop there? Or shall I finish off? If you've got to go, Norman, sis, you've got to go. It's on tape, you can hear it. I will give you the tape.
No, because I won't be here, that's the point.
I'll give it to you, you'll hear
it.
I'll
listen to it.
You said, you're tell me about...
A few minutes.
Okay. Right, well, all right. Everyone's got their own timetable there. Right. Lishpet Yosem Vadach Bal Yosef Ode. To judge the orphan or the poor person, Bal Yosef Ode, will not continue La'aretz Enosh, to frighten mankind min ha'aretz, from the earth. Okay, difficult pasuk. So Rashi explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge the Rasha'im for the benefit of the Yosem and Doch, the orphan, the doch, the poor person who are the Mashalim. It's a Mashal to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge us for good. How? By making sure that our Molech and other Rishayim no longer continue to hound us. Lo Yosef Ode La'aretz Enosh, Bal Yosef Ode La'aretz Enosh Min Ha'aretz. They will no longer continue to terrify people from the world, from the earth, from the land. That word La'aretz means to terrify. It's an unusual word, but the and the word Enosh is a very lowly reference to man. That is, Amalek attack the lowest. Some you had, they're after the weak aspects of Klal Yisrael. And we're the poor, downtrodden nation, and they're still out to oppress us and hound us. So we are the Yosem, we are the Doch, and we are also the Enosh in this pasuk. Klal Yisrael represented by three terms expressing our lowly status, our lowly stature in humanity. The word la'arotz means to scare, For example, you have a pasuk in Devarim, chapter Lamed Aleph, pasuk Vav, Al Tiru Al Tarzu Mipnehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't be scared of the nations in Eretz Canaan. When you get to Eretz Canaan, don't worry, you'll conquer those nations. We also find it in a different expression. We also find it in the Hifil, Na'aritzecha. It's a completely different meaning. The same root, the totally different meaning, and that means to proclaim power, to ascribe power to someone else. Na'aritzecha, we proclaim your power. Now, the Metzudas David explains the pasuk very clearly that it means that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges on our behalf and in our favor, then that's Yishpat Lishpat Yosem Vadach, then the Rashoim will no longer continue to oppress us. Bal Yosef Laris and Eshmanaris, they will no longer continue to do any Averis. The Malbim has a completely different pshat. The Malbim looks at this word min ha'aretz, and points out that the word min can mean from, but it can also be used as in a comparative term or in a relative term. When I say relative, let me use a relative adjective, like you have big, bigger, biggest. Right, tall, taller, tallest. And Lashon HaKodesh, if you want to compare, and you want to compare, let's say you say, he is greater than I am, hu godol mimeni. And you'd use that mem, mimeni, or min, right? Yeah, Reuven godol min Shimon. Reuven is greater than Shimon. And it's a comparative adjective, to be greater than or bigger than. Says the Malbim, here we are talking about Rashaim who want to conquer the world. La'aretz enosh min ha'aretz. They want to be stronger min ha'aretz than the world itself. Min ha'aretz. They wish to, and that word min means to be stronger than. They want to be. Malbim learns that the root ayin resh tzadi in la'aretz is an expression of strength. They la'aretz enosh, that they want to be stronger people min ha'aretz than the earth itself. They want to conquer the earth. They want to be stronger than the world itself. And the pasuk is a tefillah that we daven that there should be no more rishoyim who are out to conquer the earth and conquer us as well. That's how the Malbim lands.
So the
number
of Lishpat, that little part of the
pasuk,
I think, is the required result.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge in our favor, in the favor of the Yosem and the Doch.
Otherwise it would be Yishpat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yishpat, he will.
In order that.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Lishpat, in order that Hashem should judge Klal Yisrael favorably. Yeah, to stop any Rishoyim arising to conquer the world. Min ha'aretz, yeah, to be themselves stronger than the earth. That's it, yeah. The Rav Shimshon Fahler Hirsch points out that this root, la'arotz, is a very strange word because it is used both in the active, in the kal, and also in the hifil, in the causative. And it can mean both. And he said, he says that la'arotz, the word la'arotz, can either mean to be frightened, to get a fright, or it can mean to give a fright, to frighten someone else. You have a very similar thing with the root ayin lamed hay, which means to go up, but it can also mean to offer up. We had in yesterday's sedra, in Parashat Pekudei, chapter mem, pasuk kaf hay, where it says vaya'al haneris. And that word vaya'al can mean he went up, but the same word vaya'al can also mean he brought up, in the course of it, in the hifil. Vaya'al haneris lifnei Hashem. He made the lights, in other words, he lit the menorah, lifnei Hashem. He brought those lights up. One last thing. It's brought in the Alkut Me'amloes that Bal Yosef Od La'aretz Enosh is a tefillah that we should not be frightened of people. La'aretz Enosh, we should not be frightened of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't fear other people. Human beings are nothing. Just fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu and only fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we finished chapter Yud.
Sure.